What happens when we die? What happens to our spirit? Do we have a spirit to lose? Or does that spirit continue on after to somewhere else? Thank you for listening to the Matt Rich Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to talk about that very question. One of the greatest questions humans have ever pondered was if the spirit exists after death, or if the mind and spirit are interconnected. In a writing by a great philosopher named Lucretius, he wrote a thing called The Mind and the Spirit Will Die. In there, he raises some great philosophical questions and explanations of how the mind and spirit are one, and with physical death, the spirit cannot live on. In this podcast, I'm going to argue that there may be some fundamental mistakes that were not taken into consideration as Lucretius contemplated these questions about the nature of the spirit. Many people wonder what happens after death and what the purpose of life is, but in reality, the truth will forever be out of reach because one must reach non-existence to perceive what truly exists. Taking into consideration Occam's razor that states that most of the time, the simplest explanations are the correct ones, I believe it's simpler to believe that the mind and the spirit are separate forces and the spirit can survive independently from the body. The problem with Lucretius's statements is thinking that the spirit is just a chemical illusion produced in the brain. The mind and the body are separate, and we can experience proof of this through different practices and altered states. I think we need to view consciousness more as a radio wave floating in space all around us, existing everywhere. And much like a radio wave, one needs to build a radio in order to tap into and receive the radio waves in the air. Without the radio, you would not be able to receive the signal. Yet it exists all around us all the time, but we would never be aware of it unless we had the radio to access it. And I believe consciousness works the same way. In the writing of Lucretius, where he states that consciousness happens so quickly that they must be made of tiny particles rounded like water in order for thoughts and consciousness to flow so fluidly and without effort. This theory can assume, then, that consciousness particles can exist over vast distances through space and time, being not bound by a single state and ever flowing. So if consciousness particles can exist all around us, then this means that in order to receive or tap into these particles, or what I like to think of as a wave or an ocean, one must need a radio to receive the signal. Our radio to receive consciousness can be perceived as a physical brain or body. This idea can explain consciousness of all different forms of life. We experience this reality the way we do because our radio happens to be a human body that we are receiving consciousness through. This is the only perception we will ever be able to understand and experience. However, different forms of consciousness arise in all forms of life, but all forms of life experience their own existence from their own unique perspective. This is all based on what radio receiver you have and the body that you inhabit. I think this idea gives great question to the theory that the mind and body are one, and that when our physical form perishes, so does our spirit. Radio waves do not die when your radio is destroyed because the waves do not carry a physical form and do not exist in that radio. One can argue that proof of the spirit not existing after death is unprovable. So why would one make the assumption that because you do not remember existing before you were born means that you could not have existed, when the same argument can be made of the opposite? How can one conclude that because you have no memory of something, it means it never happened and therefore nothing will happen after life ends? We may not be able to remember life before we were born, but that doesn't mean it didn't exist. At times we forget what we did last week, but it doesn't mean you didn't exist. We can see the proof of your pay stub at work that you were piloting your own body and last week you did in fact exist. You just didn't hold on to the memory of that moment. When we are conscious, we are experiencing detachment from our bodies as well. Through deep forms of meditation, near-death experiences, or hallucinations, one can experience the feeling of complete detachment from time and matter entirely by completely breaking away from the ego. This could directly prove that consciousness is like a radio wave, and through practice and precision can be detached from what we perceive as existence itself. Physical embodiments of consciousness may be what life really is, and it may be what helps consciousness evolve. Consciousness itself can be a single universal ocean experiencing itself in a physical existence through infinite amounts of different ways, and our sense of self and individualism is a complete illusion. Hypothesizing that consciousness is an ever-expanding, all-encompassing ocean all around us and our physical bodies being the receivers of consciousness, one must now contemplate what our bodies actually are. The simplest way to view our bodies is like a vessel in which a level of consciousness can inhabit. each of our bodies being unique. You can analogize this idea by thinking of your brain as the cockpit of your body. As a cockpit of a jet plane is to a pilot, is what our consciousness is to our body. A plane is rendered useless until the pilot enters the cockpit. To fly the plane, the pilot must make decisions in order for it to work. He moves his hand, which presses a button that then activates the thrusters in order for the plane to move. The controls in the cockpit send near instant electrical signals to parts of the plane in which they are built to be directed. Now let's make the same comparison, but to ourselves and our consciousness. Our consciousness is the pilot, the cockpit is our brain, and our body is the plane. The radio waves of consciousness that our brains are built to receive is the pilot, who is our cockpit of our brain. Our consciousness then creates reactions and choices in our brain that then sends electrical signals to our meat vehicles, which we call our bodies, and then our bodies respond accordingly. One can almost argue that we are nothing more than a brain that has evolved to move around on 2 feet. We are a consciousness inhabiting a brain that's piloting around meat vehicles in order to progress evolving. We are piloting our vehicles just as the pilot is piloting the plane. Lucretius's idea in his writing, The Mind and the Spirit Will Die, raises many great questions about the very nature of the spirit. However, his idea seems almost so rigid and atheistic that it leaves shallow room for other interpretations. I don't believe that the death of the spirit can be looked at as a black and white phenomenon. He states that if we have no conscious memory of life before we came into existence at birth, then it does not exist, just as life won't exist after we perceive it to exist. My question is, what does he deem conscious then? Are human beings the only ones with a spirit because we assume that we are the only self-aware creatures in the known universe? Assuming that idea, what about human ancestors before we became conscious beings? Did we at some point obtain a spirit? The fact that he assumes we have a spirit to lose in the first place is where his argument may be flawed. From viewing the problem with the idea that a soul and spirit is something interconnected with the body and couldn't exist as a radio signal that can be perceived, can lead one to the inevitable conclusion that when the body dies, the spirit does as well. He theorizes that the spirit is a byproduct illusion that the brain produces, and when the brain is destroyed, the spirit is as well. However, I theorize that the brain is a receiver of the spirit, and that the spirit temporarily uses the body as a vessel, perhaps making the spirit as immortal as energy. Whereas energy passes on through different forms of existence through everything, so does consciousness. In conclusion, there are many things we do not understand about the fundamental nature of our existence. The idea that existence can be a simulation in our heads, and that the universe is nothing more than vibrating particles in perfect, imperfect order, or that the entire physical universe was once smaller than the head of a needle, means that we still have many questions that are still unanswered. Many people experience out-of-body experiences that science cannot fully explain, and near-death experiences put all of what we know into question about the body and spirit. Lucretius was a deep philosophical thinker who pondered questions that at the time were decades ahead of public understanding. He was able to contemplate what sounds like some of the very first foundational explanations of atheism and philosophical proof that the mind and spirit were interconnected and could not exist without one another. To think critically about these questions, one must take your sense of self to a foreign place not many of us wander very often, if not ever. We must contemplate the very nature of our ego and examine the spiritual fabric of who we are in order to generate answers that make logical sense. We are a brain trying to study itself, and with that comes many challenges. Inner reflection is a paradox, with some answers leaving us with more questions than when we started. Will we ever understand the nature of the spirit? Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed it, give it a like and share. Subscribe to the channel to keep up with all the new content. Thanks.